So, does this big production look familiar? There's a huge game about to begin. Coverage begins with five guys in the studio giving in-depth analysis and pre-game predictions of all the games and a rundown on what's generally going on league-wide. And then we're taken to the game site itself where four different correspondents tell us what each team has to do to win today and how critical this game is for each team. They go around the table giving opinions, comparing stats, providing analysis, reporting news about injuries, contract squabbles, which coach's job is in jeopardy, weather and field conditions, past history between both teams, and the ongoing concussion issue. We're almost ready for the game to begin, but first, we're taken to the booth where the play-by-play guy and the color analyst take over and offer their 2 cents worth on what we are about to see. And then they toss it down to the field where the sideline reporter tries to get a pregame interview with the coach in which he tells us absolutely nothing, but sponsors are willing to fork over big bucks because they know you don't mind hearing nothing just as long as you heard it here first. And finally, the kickoff. No, first we have to hear a singer express how much she's been looking forward to this moment. And then, finally, the kickoff. And during the game we see replays of almost every play, complete with slow-mo and freeze frame and multiple camera angles, and all of it augmented by the ubiquitous telestrator. And when the whistle blows and controversy looms, we hear from an expert who can interpret rules so we can better understand and appreciate the complexity of this sport. Back to the sideline reporter for updates on injuries during the game and team morale. At halftime, we go back to the four correspondents who tell us what we just watched and what each team needs to do better in the second half. And then back to the main studio for highlights from the first half, in case we missed it the first time, and comments about the human drama unfolding before us. Finally, the second half begins, and we get to do it all over again. I think you get the idea. And when the game's finally over, we get to dive deeply into the psyche of a player when he explains just how he felt when his team won the game. And if you're still tuned in, you get to hear intuitive, poignant remarks made by somebody who can put it all into perspective for us. Now, I love football, but even I think this is a bit much. And that's why I like to use my DVR so I can skip through most of this nonsense. But judging by the popularity, America certainly does have its eye on the NFL these days. It's bigger than ever. The question is, can Satan use the NFL or anything like it? For example, can the NFL distract people from spending time with their Bible? And perhaps you don't even like football. That's fine. If so, what's your chief distraction? And for all of us, where are your eyes this Advent season? How often do we find that our eyes are off the prize of Holy Scripture? I've always thought Advent comes at a great time. It's football season on TV. It's basketball season right here on this court. Meanwhile, we're cranking up for final exams and concerts for band and choir. But then Advent comes. And it reminds us there's something bigger going on. Not long ago, there was an email going around. Maybe you saw it. It was an email that asked the question, what if we treated our Bible like we treat our cell phone? What if we kept it close to us at all times? What if we flipped through it several times a day? What if we turned back to go get it if we forgot it? What if we gave it away as a gift? What if we used it whenever we traveled? And what if we treated it like we couldn't live without it? How about you and your relationship with your Bible? Do you spend time in there? Remember that you don't have to worry about being disconnected because Jesus has already paid your bill. And when praying, don't worry about a dropped call. He's always listening. And more than that, He has sent you loads of text messages. If you flip open your Bible to Hebrews chapter 12, for instance, you would see a remarkable passage. Looking to Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before Him endured the cross, despising the shame, and has sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. Now many times during Advent we hear about how John the Baptist was a forerunner of Christ. Well, in this passage we see Jesus as a forerunner of us. He came before us. He went to the cross. Now, we don't have to endure that cross. But we as Christians do have a cross to bear, do we not? Later it says in the passage that He despised the shame. The shame of dying on the cross. One translation says that He disregarded the shame. In other words, He thought nothing of how it humiliated Him to die on a cross. He only thought of you. And why? So that we may someday find ourselves at the right hand of the throne of God too. Jesus is our forerunner. So fix your eyes on the perfecter of our faith. At last night's First Advent service, Wednesday night service, we started on a three-part study of how the Holy Spirit makes every Christmas fresh and special for us. Part one is how the Holy Spirit conceived the Christ child in the Virgin Mary's womb. Part two will explore how the Holy Spirit preserved the details of Jesus through verbal inspiration and accurate recording in the Bible. Part three is all about how the Holy Spirit uses the gospel to place the Christ child in my heart as an individual. So, where are your eyes this Advent season? There are a lot of distractions out there, no doubt, and we do live in an age of information. Just don't forget about the information that spans the ages. Flip open your Bible and find some treasures there. Something perhaps you never thought of before when you look through it. And let the Christ child speak to you this Advent season, and let there be a room in your heart just for Him. We sing of that room in our heart just for Him in a couple of stanzas of Hymn 85.